The text for this Pentecost Sunday, of all the readings, of course, so wonderful, pointing to God fulfilling the promise of sending the Holy Spirit. But in particular, take note in Ezekiel 37, especially verse 4, when God tells the prophet to preach, to prophesy over the bones, and to say to them that even in the Old Testament, with the prophets, God put a stress on how his Spirit works through the Word, that it is no mystery how the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God, the oral Word, hearing the Word of God. And you can see it also in our second reading from Acts 2 on Pentecost. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and they began to preach the mighty works of God. And it's wonderful. I love it. In the second reading, you see at the end of verse 12, they ask a very Lutheran question. They say, "What does this mean?" And so hearing on Pentecost the works of God, we are reminded that the Holy Spirit works through the Word, and God always keeps his promises. Even though the winds, we hear wind mentioned several times in the Old Testament lesson and also in the Acts reading, we hear wind mentioned. And when the winds of the world, the winds of time change, when you feel like you may be blown about like grass in the wind, you can be sure that God keeps his promise. That his wind, his breath, the Holy Spirit, is always there for you, a place of refuge. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, of course, is Pentecost. Throughout history, today, Pentecost was celebrated by the church with the same excitement, the same joy, the same veracity, the same energy as Christmas and Easter. Pews in churches historically were just as full on Pentecost as they were on Christmas and Easter. But you know as well as I that Pentecost has kind of faded from importance. Pentecost, though, is very much like Christmas and Easter. It is also about God giving gifts to us, the gift of his Holy Spirit. Now, we always lament the over-commercialization of Christmas and Easter. We always complain that the world takes Christmas and forgets about Jesus. The world celebrates Easter. Even the department stores have rabbits and stuff. And we lament that the world tries to secularize it. But I think we owe the world a little bit of thanks. The world will not let us Christians forget Christmas and Easter. I hate to think of what would happen to Christmas if the world didn't commercialize it. Christmas might become, well, just like Pentecost. A ho-hum church service, and think about that as the winds of our world change and alternate, would the pews at Christmas look the same as a regular Sunday? We think, no way that would happen to Christmas and Easter, but Pentecost is proof that it can happen. When the winds of change blow on the people of God, and they forget the importance of the Word of God. When they forget that Pentecost is about God fulfilling promises, just like Easter and Christmas was. Christmas is about receiving wonderful gifts, and our society loves that. They love getting free things. And Easter is about family time, sweets, and barbecue, and days off. Pentecost is about receiving the Holy Spirit. That gift of God, the gift of the forgiveness of sins. The world still receives material benefit from Christmas and Easter, but Pentecost is only of benefit to those who desire the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is only of benefit to those who hunger and thirst for the forgiveness of sins. Pentecost shows us how God will never stop giving us his gifts. That he promised to send the Helper, the Comforter, and on Pentecost, through the Word, He gives that Holy Spirit. Now, Christmas is about the coming of the first Comforter, Jesus, who won for us this forgiveness. Pentecost is the visual coming of the other Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who gives faith that receives what the merits of Christ won for us. We don't try to replicate Christmas. Pentecost also is a one-time event. It's the coming of the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." We see that both the Father and the Son are involved in sending the Holy Spirit. This is why in the Creed we confess the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. Pentecost is the fulfilling of God's promise to send the Holy Spirit. And it may not dawn on you, but Pentecost is very much like Christmas. It's the celebration of the coming of God to His people. But just like we can't replicate Christmas, so too we cannot make Pentecost happen again. Unfortunately, there are many churches who try to have another Pentecost. They try to speak in some heavenly, untranslatable language called speaking in tongues. And they say that's one of the signs of the church. But as you see today in our reading, the tongues were not mysterious languages. But these were languages that were understood by everybody there. This is why the so-called speaking in tongues will never be another Pentecost. Just like if somebody said there was another Jesus born in the Middle East, we would call them ridiculous. So too with trying to make Pentecost happen with some sort of heavenly tongues. That's not what Pentecost was. Peter tells us that when Pentecost happened, it was the fulfilling of the prophecy of Joel. This prophecy has been fulfilled. There's no need for it to happen again. Just as the promise of a Savior was fulfilled at Christmas, and we don't need to have another Christmas. But we celebrate the effects of it, of what that means for us as God's people. The Holy Spirit is the one that delivers to us peace. And I think peace is something we can all really be thankful to God for. With the changing winds and the changing times and how people, even ourselves, we're often blown back and forth by the challenges in this life. Death, sadness, social unrest. The wind blows one way and the next day the other. Peace, which God promises, is a breath of fresh air. The Holy Spirit breathes peace through the Word. Peace can only come through the forgiveness of the one thing that separates us from God: sin and death. And as you heard in the Old Testament reading from Ezekiel, we hear this on Pentecost Sunday because it's a great description of life without the Holy Spirit. It is the valley of dry bones that Ezekiel sees before him. And how did God tell the prophet to bring life to these dead bones? Prophesy. Or in other words, preach the word. And God did a miracle. There was no magic show, no unbelievable things. But it was God's word that gave life where there was only death. Where the wind had blown on these dry bones and they were dead. He gave flesh where there was only dry bones. It's a picture of what God's word does by the Holy Spirit constantly for us. First, in converting us into the Christian faith, but also that refreshment so that our faith doesn't dry out. That the Holy Spirit does this through hearing the word. St. Paul says that before the Holy Spirit came to us, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Then the word of God comes and enlivens us. And even now as we are alive in Christ, if you're like me, sometimes you still feel like you have a dryness about you. Pentecost, it really isn't celebrated by the world because the world prefers death and dryness. Dryness and death, well, that's safe. That's what our fallen flesh knows, what our fallen flesh is kind of in a way comfortable with. Because you see, if you're dead, there is no risk. There's no chance for you to mess up. There's no need for you to apologize to one another when you mess up because you're dead in sin. Dryness, this valley of death and dryness that Ezekiel sees and that we are without the Holy Spirit, in that valley there is no life. There is no love, no friendship, no kindness, no love, no joy, no peace, no gentleness. Those all require the breath of life, the wind of God. The Ezekiel reading is about the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit through the word preached into your ears. And once that word was preached, even on Pentecost, what do we hear happening? When the Holy Spirit came by the preached word, what did they preach about? Well, we have the witness. For all the foreigners, they say, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This is the mighty wind from the four corners that Ezekiel is speaking of. The mighty work of God was the cross. Just as Jesus says, he is going to draw all men to himself. Four winds in Ezekiel means the whole earth, the whole covering of the whole cosmos. And when Jesus says he draws all men to himself, he's reminding us of this. That at the cross is the mightiest work of God ever done. Where God was not causing a drought or a dry spell, but he was crucifying his son. That there he is tapping the life-giving water from his side. That the drying of his wind, the wrath of God, dried up Christ. So that you may have life. That there in Jesus Christ is a flood of forgiveness for all your sins, for all the dryness that you experience yourself, maybe and certainly the dryness that you cause with others. We even hear Jesus, under the wrath of God, he says, I thirst. His bones, dry bones, all out of joint. All of this for your sins. All the times you would rather not believe God's word and live a life as if what you wanted mattered the most. That when you've used your dry mouth to speak bad about someone, and the drying winds of gossip fill the air, when we misuse our language, the very tool of the gospel and forgiveness, we use language to tear one another up instead of building up in the Holy Spirit. Gossip even about your enemies. It's the equivalent of taking the cross of Christ and beating somebody with it. The very thing that God has blessed us with, we take it and use it to hurt our neighbor. But consider what Christ Jesus does. He takes the very thing cursed by God. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus takes that very thing that was meant to be a curse, and he makes it a blessing for you. Even if that means he must die upon it, even if that means that people will use language to scorn him, he saved others, he can't save himself. Jesus receives it all so that you may receive the forgiveness delivered by the Holy Spirit. So that the gospel is not a dead language to you, but indeed you can say, I hear the language of God. When the forgiveness of sins is declared to you, you are as the dry bones in the valley of death. You are given life. Jesus was crucified for all the times you act as if God's promise to provide for you was a lie. that you're just going to dry out in this valley of death, that God won't provide for you. All the times you didn't trust God, but would rather stay in the valley of dry death, when you prefer the life of the world to life in the gospel. Indeed, on Easter, Jesus is remembering the promise of the Father that he would never forget his people, that he would send his Son. Also on Pentecost, God's remembering his promise to send the Helper. But what kind of help does dead, dry bones, what kind of help does a skeleton need? We can't raise up ourselves. We can't raise up our dry bones. He must come to us. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. We can't resist the winds and changing winds of the world alone. We can't build ourselves a bridge to get out of the valley of the shadow of death. The Holy Spirit, though, through the Word, preached to you, comes and gives you peace in what Jesus has done. This is what Pentecost promises. That the Holy Spirit is eternal. He will never leave us. Just as Jesus is eternal, and so is the Father, the Holy Spirit brings us to faith. Even in the Old Testament, David in Psalm 51 said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." The Holy Spirit is responsible for bringing you to faith. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes in a tangible way to bring forgiveness of sins through the Word. Pentecost is where the Holy Spirit, preaching and the forgiveness of sins, it's all tied together. Because the world, it's going to change. It's going to keep decaying and tending toward death. The winds of change will blow. And what about you? Do you examine your life? Wind, it has a way of drying things out. I always remember when reading this, thinking about those time-lapse videos that you see on the Discovery Channel of an animal that's died in the desert. And the wind and the sand make quick work of organic material. Decomposes. Dry bones, and then pretty soon nothing is left. How about you? Have the winds of sin and change lessened your dedication to God's Word? Do you attend to hearing the Holy Spirit in the Word, the wind that doesn't bring decay, but refreshment? Do you find yourself alone? Or are you gathered with God's people for the Holy Spirit to build you up together, to attach you with sinews, and to give you muscle? Do you raise your sails to grab onto the winds of God? Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, it's all a celebration of God's working for you. This is why we gather here on Sunday, because the Holy Spirit is present. The Holy Spirit is here through the Word of God, giving us gifts. Luke points this out in Acts 10:44. While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the Word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Paul asks the Galatians, did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or hearing of faith? The Holy Spirit works through the outward Word. The world doesn't have use for the Word of God in Pentecost because they've been fooled into thinking the Holy Spirit works apart from the Word of God. They mostly look to themselves for the Holy Spirit and their feelings. We don't have to see or feel the Holy Spirit come like he did on Pentecost. We don't look for Jesus to be born again. But by the Holy Spirit, it is we who are born again. It is we who by the Holy Spirit don't need to see the Holy Spirit because we see Jesus in the supper. With eyes of faith, we see his body and blood in, with, and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sin. Not for the drying out of bones, but for the refreshing of the people of God. That is truly heavenly language. That is truly the only language that we can translate that the Holy Spirit shows us. Our place of comfort is not finding recognition in the world. We don't look to get the respect of the world. But we are comforted that in Christ, God has done all that is required of us. And now we go out with that wonderful message. That yes, though the winds of change, you may feel dried out time to time. But the Holy Spirit, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And uphold me with a right spirit. Keep this treasure, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. It is given to you as a gift of God. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.